Bruce, you still there?
Yes, sir.
All right. All right. I think we are live. Hopefully this works. We got a 30-second delay. Bruce, welcome. Welcome, everybody in the audience. My guest today is Bruce Patnaud. Bruce is a comic artist who has been collaborating with Renegade HPG and Gallery 3025 to produce some great pencil work for us in this universe. I found Bruce because he had posted a Battlemaster, and as a longtime fan of the BattleTech universe, Bruce can tell us a little bit about that, but he picked up this game with Battle Droids. And so we're going to hear a little bit of story about BattleTech from its very origins as we go through this podcast. But Bruce, welcome. I think we are officially live.
Hey, yeah. See, you worried success. For nothing. It happened without a hitch.
I want to say that worry is always helpful. It keeps you on the edge.
That's true.
So Battle Droids, you started from the beginning. I started second edition. I can't claim Battle Droids, but tell us about kind of that early introduction to BattleTech and how it's carried on with you through the years.
Sure. Yeah. I was younger. This is, quite a while ago, probably over 30 years ago. So in turn, that means that I'm old. Or older, but a friend of mine whose father and eventually himself owned a comic book shop back in Wichita, Kansas. And we played all kinds of games all the time, and Battle Droids came out. It was about big stumpy, a lot of people say big stumpy robots, although they're not, technically they're not robots, right? Because they're driven. But so I picked up the game. It actually came with, I believe that if my memory serves me, I think it was two plastic miniatures, and I think there were actually Robotech miniatures that they put in there.
Dugram, I think was it like a Shadowhawk and a Griffin or something?
I believe you're correct. And, little paper map. And then they also had the little cardboard standees for other mechs. So you could play, multiples. And probably, I'm not sure how long after that, they had to re-release the game because, LucasArts basically made them change the name because they claimed the word droids. So they changed it to BattleTech, and so I purchased that as well, along with my buddy, that we got into it. We started purchasing the Ral Partha miniatures, the old metal miniatures. We had a pretty good collection of them as well.
I see your paint rack behind you there.
Over here. I still paint miniatures. BattleTech miniatures, of course, and then also do some other games as well. I like the 3D print miniatures as well, so I do a lot of that when I get spare time. Lately, I haven't had a lot of spare time because I've been doing a lot of illustrations and things. So, but whenever I get a chance, I like to do that. So, but yeah, we used to play. We'd play once a week. I'd head over to his house on a Saturday. Usually around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we'd do a cookout, and then he'd have about three or four other guys come. He had a huge BattleTech layout. We had an 8-foot by 8-foot board in his basement that we would play classic BattleTech on. I had another friend that played in the group who ran an RPG that we tied to the board game that was the RPG back then was called Mech Warrior. And so we actually played a little RPG with a little tabletop skirmish with BattleTech. And we played probably until I think I used to leave his house at about 4 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning. So we'd have a good 12, 14 hour session. And it was a lot of fun, and played that for a long time until life happens, things happen, get jobs, we get demanding jobs. And so you get less and less time to play. And it kind of fell out. And as I kind of fell out of BattleTech around the time that I think it was, so WizKids, right? WizKids took over and they had the clicky bases for the BattleTech. Kind of fell out of it back then. And then when Catalyst took over, I wasn't one of the early adopters. Like, I didn't even get in on the Kickstarter for that. But once I refound it, found it again, I went whole hog on it again and started picking up the Catalyst plastics. And I got the Game of Armored Combat box set, which took me a while to find, because at the time, I think it was right after the Kickstarter, they weren't available to find a local person here in Texas that had an extra one. And so he just sold it to me at his cost. So I was lucky enough to get that. And then I picked up Clan Invasion. And I have a little group that I play with probably once or twice a month here locally. And we play classic. I tend to lean more towards Alpha Strike. I like the Alpha Strike rules a little bit better because it's a little bit quicker. Yeah. So that's pretty much my history with BattleTech.
Yeah, I played Alpha Strike for the first time last November at the that tournament that Fortress Miniatures and Games was hosting down the Southern Assault, because I happened to be driving down to Florida for on a road trip when it was getting hosted, and I had never played it before. I had always kind of raised my nose at Alpha Strike, as a classic BattleTech fan, and I was
like,
I get a shot, and it was good. I mean, I think it was definitely very different. It was very cool to be able to put more of my miniatures on the table,
right?
And, display all the paint jobs and have the terrain, and it's definitely different, but and doesn't have that kind of the units, or at least this is me talking with 5-6 games of experience, didn't have as much kind of individual flavor to them. But it was, having come from an X-Wing background and playing a lot of X-Wing, in the first probably 3-4 years of that game, it kind of definitely started to, draw on those skills and movement and kind of a little bit more of the tactical side rather than the strategic. But
it's definitely not as crunchy as the classic BattleTech, tracking ammo and hit locations. And that's the one thing I do miss about Alpha Strike that was in classic. And that is, okay, I'm going to fire the PPC here, medium laser this time, a lot more integral heat tracking and things like that. But for me, the Alpha Strike allows me to get like more BattleTech in. Like, it's just faster pace for me, it seems to me. And so I just kind of, like you said, get more mechs on the board, and I kind of enjoy it a little bit more. Plus, when I play it, I like to play it with, I don't know if you're familiar with, I think his name's Ash Barker or Baker, Guerrilla Miniature Gaming YouTube channel. Okay. He just recently kind of picked up BattleTech and started playing it. And they came up with an alternative way to roll the dice for Alpha Strike. And that's with, instead of just rolling your 2d6 for the, in Alpha Strike, let's say you go medium range and it's 3, right? So you roll your target number. If you hit it, then it does 3 damage, right?
Okay.
Well, the way they do it is they take a dice pair for each potential damage you could do. So you'd roll 3 sets of 2d6s.
Right.
And for each one, if one could hit instead of 3, or 2 could hit, And then you have like a pilot dice. And if you roll a 6 on that and a 6 on one of the other dice, then you get a critical hit. So it's a little bit different, but I kind of like it a little bit better. So it's kind of a house rule thing. So
that's what they did at the tournament I was in. So I
just, did they?
That was the way, but I guess that's a community kind of adaptation there.
I could be wrong, but I think the rules is written is you just roll 2d6, and then if you hit, you hit for that much damage.
You hit for everything.
I guess that's why it's called Alpha Strike, right?
Yeah,
right. Hit for everything or nothing, right? So, but
definitely. Yeah. So, talk to me about kind of parallel development of your comic career and kind of, when you were getting into art and, was that influenced by BattleTech early or just kind of, along for the ride with it?
Well, game art, because like I mentioned, my friend and his father owned the comic book shop. I was in there a lot. So comics have a huge influence on my art as well. But early on, you know, game art was, you know, all the old D&D, TSR artists, you know, I think it's Parkinson one. Is it Parkinson's? Or is it? I don't want to get his name wrong, but I should know better. But Elmore, and then all the old Baltech artists, some of them I like, some of them were, you know, okay. But the very black and white influence really drove my art at that time, my style and things like that.
Are there any pieces that stand out as your favorites from back in the day?
I do like, I always like the original cover they put on the Battle Droids and then eventually the BattleTech. I think it was the Warhammer piece.
Yep.
That was always, I mean, that's what attracted me to the game, you know, was that piece of art. I'm like, this looks pretty damn cool. I think I want to pick this up. Nice. And then some of the old black and white stuff. I'm probably going to get the name wrong, like I normally do, because I'm really bad with names. But I think it's Ploog. Is it Ploog? Or that's his signature. Ploog.
I think it's Plog. Matt Plog.
Matt if Plog.
I haven't talked to Matt, so I might not be saying it right. But
okay.
There's one O in it.
Is there one O? Yeah. Okay.
The chat can correct me.
The chat right. Got me. Yeah. Let's see if the chat knows. I'm sure they're probably a lot more educated on that than I am. But the Grey Death heavy battle armor piece was really like, that was a big one for me. Like I'm like, this is so cool. This design is so neat.
Yeah.
I love it. Like even some of my early, you know, I was probably 19, 20, 21 years old. And I've got all these ideas popping in my head of what I want to draw. I've always been attracted to sci-fi and things like that. So that piece in itself got me started on, man, I really like battle armor. So you know, I used to draw battle armor all the time. Just loved it. Like somebody just, you know, dressed up in a suit of armor, a sci-fi or futuristic suit of armor with, you know, guns attached to it and things like that.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just it really drove me to do that. So I even had, I don't know if you know this or not, maybe this is new for you, but I was 20 years old and I decided, because I was inspired by comic books and things like that, I actually self-published my own comic title back in 1986 was the first self-published, my foray into the comic book industry, small press. I did a black and white book called Nightmasters, and they were pretty much all in battle armor. I mean, because, you know, that's what inspired me. So I did that, published that, 5 issues of that. And then I collaborated with another friend of mine and we wrote like a little satire parody book called No Ninja Man. No Ninja Man was born because of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And at the time, everything was ninjas were the hot item, you know, like like zombies were a couple of years ago and things like that. So we wrote he wrote a parody book. I drew it and it was called No Ninja Man. And we released 1 issue of that. And then he went off to college and we kind of lost track. And so that didn't go any further. But yeah, I did that for a while and I lost a couple $1,000 because I had 3 comic distributors. At the time, there was more than one comic distributor. And 3 of them went out of business and they ended up owing me probably $3,000-$4,000. And I never got that money. And I just, you know, I was young. I was 21 years old, 22 years old. And I just couldn't afford to lose that kind of money. You know what I mean?
That's a good chunk of change in what, 86, 87?
Yeah, it was about 87, 88. Yeah. So I moved on to the video game. And well, I did a bunch of odd different jobs. And then I decided to teach myself some 3D, and I learned how to do 3D with Lightwave. And then I got into the gaming industry in the 90s and worked in the video games for about 12 years. And then got out of that and decided to go back into comics. So now I'm drawing, I'm working with independent writers. And so doing independent comics right now. So that's what I do now. And then I do freelance illustration whenever somebody wants something. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we've been enjoying it. You know, certainly the pieces is a good, happy coincidence then that the elemental was one of the kind of the pieces that we threw out early, but, and why we picked that, got your battle armor fix early.
Yeah. Well, when you contacted me the first time, I was really excited because I'm saying, all right, I finally get to draw some BattleTech stuff for money, you know? So, it was awesome. Because I think you mentioned the Battlemaster picture that I had posted.
Yep.
I think it was on Facebook group, right? And that was actually an old, it was a redo. It was a revisit of an old piece I did back in the late 80s, early 90s for a friend of mine. He had a mercenary group called Royce's Raiders. And one of his characters piloted a Battlemaster. So I did that picture. And he liked it. And so I've always kept the original.
Put it up here. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then, so that's just pretty much a revisit of an old picture of his character that we used to, you know, do the RPG and the little skirmish game of BattleTech Classic with. And I said, people like the old one. Maybe I'll redo it and see if they like it or not. And so it captured some attention, and you contacted me. And then when you asked me about the elemental, I was like, yes, finally, because I have an old picture of elemental as well that I did back in early 90s, and that was a lot of fun. So,
and I don't think anyone guessed the mech that we were on, where I decided not to give it away, but there was a hunchback guess on Reddit, but it is not a hunchback, but there's a sign there. So if anyone in chat can identify it, so you get a little extra special attention there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I remember you said you didn't want to reveal what it was and let people try to guess what it was. So. And
us nerds, we love picking out little details like that. But so I thought I'd leave it to them. So, and then what the next one was, what was the next one? Was it the aerospace?
I think it was the aerospace one.
Yeah. So we were working on trying to get the inside of a Leopard and kind of showing the launch bays. And I know in looking at the art, there's, you know, we were talked about doing something kind of like Battlestar Galactica ish, that kind of pre-launch sequence, or even the scene in Star Wars, the original Star Wars, where they're in the Yavin 4 base and they're about to launch, and you know they have all the people, you know, kind of sitting in the X-wings and all the techs running around. So that was this piece. You know, I love this. It's the, we had some critique on the scale and the depth, but I think it might be a little long for what the Leopard CV can hold. But I think essentially they were saying it was too wide. It's definitely not too wide. So for those listening, we were going for the Leopard CV. So that's the one that carries 6 aerospace fighters. It's a more aerodyne shape. And this kind of looking from, you know, the bay door that would be in the front.
I remember when we talked about this and we were talking about the specifications, because I'm really loosey goosey when I draw these things, you know, and it was a really good exercise for me working with you on this, because drawing things more to specifications and trying to make sure it looks like what it's supposed to be. And I remember when I was mapping this out, when I was laying it out with Ruff, I thought to myself, I said, there's no way I'm going to be able to pull this off with all this stuff, you know? So it was really challenging, but I'm pretty proud of it. And I could see where people would come across with the idea that, you know, maybe the scale and the depth and the depth is a little off. I can understand that. And Believe me, you can't be any more critical of my art than what I am. So,
yeah.
But there comes a point when you have to say, man, I got to put this down or I'm going to ruin it. Like I can noodle on it forever and I'll never probably get it 100% the way I like it. So I just have to hope that, you know, I have to hope that Travis likes it. And then whatever, you know, whatever you tell me is what I'll, you know, what I'll fix and stuff. So, but yeah, this was fun. Like I said, it was challenging. Yeah, I'm kind of proud of it. So.
Yeah. And I'm wondering even if this was the final version, cause I think this might've actually been the first version where the hangar bay was way deeper. In the final version that we published, I must have it in a different folder. So where it goes back with the bay doors in the very back, I think we had put a wall there instead to kind of shorten it up. But
yeah, no, I think this is the final version because this is the wall with, and that was the ammo storage. So it was more or less like you're looking from the bay doors of the dropship and looking into the dropship. Because the other one, you were right, the first one I gave you, that was a bay door. That was to the outside. So, and I think we flipped it. So,
yeah, definitely. Well, it definitely came out great. So the next one actually kind of lets you, I just, you know, said,
yeah,
here's some money and do whatever you want.
Do what
and,
I want. Yeah.
Yeah. And so this one came up with our Urban Mech, the fan favorite. Talk to us a little bit about kind of why this was your pick out of all your options.
How could I not pick the Urban Mech, right? But no, it's just that I guess I don't know. Can you say the Urban Mech is a meme now? I don't know.
Yeah,
I guess you can. But I wanted to show it in its environment. The way that I feel it's intended to be used, right? Mm-hmm. So in an urban environment, you know, infantry tracking it down or hiding from it. And, so yeah, I mean, that's kind of what got me going on that. Plus it kind of, you know, kind of show some background of the city and, you know, war-torn city and things going on. So yeah, I just wanted to have fun with it. You told me to have fun with it, so that's kind of what I did. Now, I will tell you this. Doing mechs for BattleTech, it's one of these things. I've done commissions for people who want, like, I don't know if you're familiar with the Warhammer 40K community, Warhammer 40,000.
Yeah, loosely.
But a lot of the fans are hardcore fans. And they're sticklers for detail and lore. And, you know, if you get something wrong, they're going to let you know. Right. Yeah. And so when I was doing this Urban Mech, I must have searched. I spent like 3 hours scouring the internet looking for any kind of, references to different types and different variants. And I'm sure I've probably got some of these things wrong on here as far as details and the fiddly bits and things. But I think I got pretty close on it. I think I got pretty close. I mean, you can make an excuse that you're walking around somewhere. So
no, yeah. I don't see any issue there. And I'm also kind of pretty stickler on some things, but no, I love this version. And, you know, my view is that, you know, there are multiple factories building a lot of these mechs in different places in the inner sphere, and some of them are not friendly, you know? And so it's kind of like a Honda Civic from one year to the next, you know, it might still be a Honda Civic, but doesn't look the same as it did 10 years ago. Whatnot. And so
right
that's my headcanon, that's my explanation
for right that.
They're
right.
Not all going to be like clones because they're not coming out of the same factory the same year.
Well, exactly, and that's the way I explain it. That's the way I explain it away for myself, right? When I'm when I'm drawing something, I'm like, well, you know, it's been in battle, they might have had to replace a piece here and there, and maybe it's not exactly the same as it's supposed to be. And so, you know, I don't know, it makes me feel better, lets me sleep at night. So
there you go. Well, it's good. Well, then we had our most recent piece, you know, for Gallery 3025, which is this one, which is kind of my favorites. So we went back and forth a lot on this. I was,
We
you
did,
know,
yeah.
I'm always trying to, I'm saying like the main thing for the gallery is different, you know, is something that's really different than what we are normally seeing, you know. And you know, this is my critique of Catalyst, is that they don't make it that hard, because a lot of their art is very slimmer these days. It's a mech shooting at something else, from a
Right.
very similar frame. And so, and you know, like you, I, you know, I wasn't Battle Droids, but I came in second edition. You know, talking about Mech Warrior first edition and then second edition, and the Mech Warrior Companion. And so there was just a lot of kind of illustrations in there, mostly black and white, of kind of the scenes. You know, and, you know, when I talked to Jeff Lobenstein, you know, we talked about a lot of his, you know, there's the scene of the Mech Warrior basically having, you know, a doctor stitch up his open wound on his leg, you know, in the middle of battle while he sits there. And you know,
Right,
other
right.
ones were just like humans that are, you know, in deep shit trying to get away from mechs who are,
Right.
you know, shooting at them or whatever it may be, or even just character art that really showed kind of the people, you know, in the world. And so, you know, with the gallery, that's really what I want to get to. And you know, trying, and certainly I love being able to recruit you as a comic artist, because you have such a different background than what I think a lot of the other artists, you know, that are working in BattleTech have. And that's why, you know, we've been able to do, you know, this long collaboration, which, you know, I definitely want to continue. And so, yeah, so getting that. And also, you know, I'm hoping to recruit some concept artists, you know, though they tend to be, you know, snatched up by the big studios, and it's hard to find any with time.
Right.
But certainly, you know, kind of having that calming mentality of really kind of getting a good frame has been awesome. And I think this one, you know, I really kind of sat there for a couple of days and was like, all right, what can we do? What's a scene? And so, and this is what we came up with. And so it was basically, you know, this SRM platoon kind of laying ambush for this victor, you know. And the original piece had an enforcer, you know, basically luring it into this trap. But you know, we went back and forth a lot on whether the enforcer was in the frame or not. And my, that was my nerdiness, was that you know, an enforcer going head to head with a victor, you know, nobody's that stupid. And so he either had to be, you know, at least 300 meters away to kind of stay out of range of the autocannon, and 300 meters from this picture pretty much puts him out of frame. But yeah, I mean, I love this, you know. So, you know, we can talk a little bit of kind of how it went through and what the steps were, but yeah, I love
Sure.
how it came out. A lot of people were like, those SRMs look ridiculous. And I was like, we took it straight out of Mech Warrior first edition. You know, I literally did the research. We found what the uniforms for the Davian infantry looked like. We found what the SRM design was back in the OG BattleTech, and plugged it in. So don't blame Bruce for that.
No, yeah, like
Blame the OG Mech Warrior guys. But yeah, but that's so
no.
sick.
No, absolutely. As far as the SMGs go, yeah, you're right. Took that straight from there. Matter of fact, I had that image pulled up the whole time when I was doing those. And then the uniforms, yep, we took directly from there as well. I think the only thing I took maybe a little license with was the helmets on the guys. They're very similar, but they're not the same. And then but yeah, like it's funny, you know, you mentioned that, you know, we went back and forth a lot, that enforcer being in the picture. I tried, Travis, I tried very hard to get all those things in this picture. I tried different, like I think the first day I started working on it, I probably went through 10 different concepts, right? 10 different compositions on this image, trying to get it all in. I think the first one I sent you, it had weird perspective. I think you even mentioned it. You caught it. You said, doesn't look like they're on the second floor, although they're right next to, you know, the mech and how they should be. If you look out through the window and down the street, it looks like they're on the ground floor. And you were right, 100% right. And so I worked on that, worked on that. And then I finally said, you know, I think what he wants is, I think he wants the squad to be the big thing. Like the main subject is the squad against the mech, right?
Yeah, the mech was
And
definitely background. Yeah.
right. And so I came up with this composition on it, and I really liked it. And so when I sent it to you, I thought, man, I really hope he likes this because this is the one I want to finish, you know. So
Yeah. Yeah, we had four different framing and perspectives that you sent me, and I picked this, and this was your favorite, so we were on the same page.
This is for sure.
And then we talked about the little details of kind of where to position. I think the guys were a little bit less prepared here, and I was trying to do in my head. I was like, okay, well, Victor goes, you know what, you know, 120 meters every 10 seconds if it's walking. And so we have to kind of figure out, well, if it's this close, then they're pretty much within 3 seconds of launching their attack. So they've got to be really set up. They can't be kind of mulling around or with their, you know, the SRMs down. And then the breaking the glass was the big thing. There were a lot of people that are like, what's that guy think he's going to do with his pistol against the mech? And I'm just like, no, dude, they've got to shatter that glass somehow.
They got to break the glass, right? Yeah, you can see the woman there. She's getting ready to bash it, you know, with a little rifle butt action. You know, At first I had drawn in with the guy with the pistol. I thought, okay, maybe he, because I looked it up, you know, in CQB, military close quarters combat, if they want to break glass, they usually have like a little tool. Either they have something on the end of the rifle that'll break it, or they have a little tool with a little, you know, a little spike on the end that'll shatter the glass. And at first I thought, okay, I'm going to put that in. But then I got to drawing and I thought, okay, he could just shoot it with the pistol. And he's putting his fingers up to let them know when they're going to go, because, you know, Travis wants to be it like right before they shatter the glass. And I wanted to put something in there to kind of give the idea that they're getting ready, right? They're getting ready to do their ambush. And so I thought with the girl, with the female in there doing what she's doing and the guy kind of counting down, I thought, okay, maybe that's enough to kind of show what's going to happen. So I hope it, and you seem to like it and I like it. So I think it worked. I don't know how everybody else feels about it who got to see it, but
I think there were a lot of people like, how are they going to handle the backfire from those SRMs? And I was like, I think they thought it was in a residential building. I mean, I don't know how many residential buildings have windows like that, but it's definitely a very wide open office building. And then there were some people like, oh, they think 3 SRMs going to take down a Victor. And I was like, these guys aren't alone here. You know, we're not going to illustrate the other 4 platoons that are about to launch their own attack.
Yeah, it's just a snapshot in time, right? That's exactly. All it is. One little group, yeah, doing their part. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was a great snapshot. I love it. But yeah, we'll do more. And, you know, so if there are people in chat that have ideas for future commissions, I know I put out a post in the gallery Patreon that if there are any, any supporters that had ideas for commissions, that, you know, would definitely love to kind of sift through those. So I'm not the only one trying to kind of come up with the pictures, but yeah, you know, Bruce is ready to keep doing more. I told him, as long as CGL doesn't snatch him up and take all his time, then, you know, we'll keep sending the pages. And we also talked about, you know, I've been wanting to kind of explore, you know, a comic for a while.
I think that would be a blast. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Like, I've been going through story ideas in my head. It's just you know, when I've, you know, got my daughter half the time and it's summer, it's like, you know, I'm sure you know, it's like when you're being creative, interruptions are just the death of creativity. And so trying to kind of sit down and just kind of conceptualize, all right, what would a comic story be? But, you know, I was kind of thinking a couple ways, you know, certainly if we were really hitting it out of the ballpark, you know, reaching out to Lauren at CGL, maybe we get a license to publish. But, you know, barring that, certainly just kind of basically publish a page of a comic, you know, every couple of weeks, you know, or a month or so on the Renegade HPG Patreon, you know, and let people kind of enjoy that out as it created, kind of Astarte style. You know, it's like you look back at the history of Astartes and you know, I mean, I think it was 2 years, you know, that he was working on that. And
yeah, just one single guy. Yeah.
And if you go into way back, I think that's the Google thing where you look back, you can see how little support he had early and just how it exploded later on. So
it's
still there. So maybe we can do something similar on the Renegade HPG Patreon.
But yeah, for sure. I'm not sure if you're interested, but I can show you my last 2 BattleTech commissions. These were for private individuals. I mean, I got the okay to show them off. So
definitely.
You want to see them?
Yeah, let's do a screen share for you. I'll cut off my screen share and.
Yeah, I don't know how to do this newfangled Zoom stuff. Do I just hit the share screen?
So what you want to do, set it, open the picture on in a different window so that it's there. And then when you go share screen, it'll ask you what window you want to share and just click on that window.
Okay. Says that you have disabled.
All right. Let me enable it real quick.
Okay.
There we go. I think we're good now.
Okay. Let me try it. Yeah, there we go. Okay. Think that'll work. Let me know if that works for you. I can't, it looked like it shut down for me.
Nope, I see it.
Okay, so you see the
the Marauder with
the Katrina. This is one that I did, I think this was last week. He wanted his character because he's building his Merc unit, and he gave me some specifications like the Merc patch and a tire and the mech. And he told me I could, you know, kind of do my own thing with the Marauder, like whatever variant I wanted or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so we went with that. I really like this one, just because I like the Marauder, you know. So I thought this was a pretty good one. And then here's another one that I just finished this one up today, and I sent it off to him, and he seemed to like it. A different client, and this was he wanted kind of a dual picture where he's got. Let me see if I can move this out of the way real quick. There we go. He wanted the Timberwolf and the Direwolf in one picture. Kind of like a poster kind of shot.
Yep.
I think he's going to print it on a neoprene mat. And then he said he wanted to make a poster. So this is a pretty big file. This is... it'll print out to poster size, which I think is 30 inches by 24 inches or something. So,
oh boy. Yeah.
Yeah. So, So I just finished that one up today. So, might enjoy looking at those, some more BattleTech stuff. So I definitely enjoy drawing them. So,
well, we'll keep sending them. I just got to be sure. Now I've got like my dozen or so ideas for scenes that I've come up with. And I was like, oh, I can't use them all. And Bruce, I do got to save them for other people. So I was like,
oh, no, I got you. I got you.
I got to start coming up with more. So to get them all there.
But yeah, whenever you want something done, man, I'm more than willing to do it.
Excellent.
Because I'm, like I said, I'm a BattleTech fan. So been so for a long time. So, but.
Very cool. Well, we'll keep doing it. Yeah, and I had thrown a couple specs at you kind of earlier on, but I'll keep looking. The comic, I really want to kind of get nailed on the comic. And though I do actually have one that I wanted to talk to you today, I can do it on stream. I don't have to wait. But Jaden Morris is another artist that I worked with. He was actually one of the first ones we did for the gallery. And I'd reached out to him about producing some card art for the BattleTech trading card game, which I've been doing a ton of stuff to try and kind of build the community. You know, we're doing a league this summer that Renegade is hosting, and
I've
been doing some like custom cards for that as well. And so I'd reached out to Jaden to kind of get, you know, a kind of Magic the Gathering level piece done for some custom card art that I could give away. Cause that's honestly, like, I try to give away cards as frequently as I can, but you know, it's hard to find really good art that's not official. You know,
right.
Like I don't give away any cards with art that I don't have permission to use. And he had kind of sent me some initial concepts, and it occurred to me while I was going through it, because Jaden, was really good at kind of that nice polished look and with his colors, you know, but with you and your framing, I wanted to see if you'd be interested. And he had chosen a Marauder, or I had chosen a Marauder for him, of kind of basically sketching out the scene for him to then come in to finish, just the same way a colorist, you know, an inker would in a comic page.
Right.
But yeah, that sounds cool. And it's Marauder. So you do another Marauder.
Right.
But yeah. And basically setting the scene, kind of looking at, you know, Magic the Gathering type of, you know, framing to set that up and then kind of send it over to Jaden to finish off. But yeah, so that's one. That's a commission we can do right away.
But, yeah, no, absolutely. Be more than willing. And I saw the work you're doing with the card game, and I think that's very cool. It's really good stuff going on there. If you don't mind, I see somebody in the chat. Is it Big Red 40K? Yep. I think he does BattleTech stuff now, right?
He does, yeah. He does a lot of kind of live stream stuff.
I watch his stuff, and I've got one thing to say to him. I wonder if he's going to remember. I got one thing to say.
All right, let's hear it.
Jaeger mech, bro. Jaeger mech. Number one. No, I know. I every once in a while I jump in there and I tease him about it. But anyways. But yeah,
Big Red, I'm envious of your productivity. Well, I could never kind of produce videos at the rate that you do. It's the editing. It's the editing that kills me.
But yeah, for sure. It's a lot of work. I don't know if people realize. Yeah. It's a lot of work. So but sure. Yeah.
Well, yeah, if we can open up to chat. I know Awkward Smiles over there is aka Clover is one of our gallery patrons, and I'd offered kind of those patrons to come in and hop into video chat. So Clover, if you have any questions you want to hop in now, just kind of ping me on the chat here. But if anybody else coming in the live chat, you know, has either some commission ideas that they want to kind of shoot into the chat, we can chat about it. Or just general questions about Bruce and his work, you know, BattleTech, comic book industry, you know, anything, kind of throw that in and we'll start fielding some of that.
Definitely. I'm going to take a drink here real quick, though. My throat gets dry really easy.
Yeah. Of course, we got a 30-second delay here, so they haven't probably even heard that request yet.
No, yeah. Well, we can fill in some time. I don't know.
I definitely like kind of just I like just letting artists kind of give them the resources they need to kind of, you know, explore their own creativity. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I'm definitely happy to kind of do another, you know, one where we'll kind of, you know, give you free rein. So any ideas if we do that, and I mean, I can commit to that right now. So, you know, do another piece where you can do whatever you want in the scenario. Any thoughts, anything that you've really wanted to kind of illustrate but haven't had the time to do for free?
Boy, that's, what is that called? What is that condition called? Oh my God, I'm going to forget it. Something paralysis.
Paralysis.
Well, when you get too many options.
Yes. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, right. So, I probably have to give it a little thought. I do have my favorite mechs and my favorite situations or whatever to depict. I think we talked about this early on when you first contacted me, is I enjoy drawing the mechs and illustrating the mechs and exploring mm-hmm. that, but my biggest thing is I've always been a character artist, right? Comic books and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I like to include characters, you know, within the that has to do with the mech. Sometimes it's very difficult because mechs are so big, you know, you can't focus in on a character and then get the whole mech in or whatever. You have to be kind of creative the way you do it. But, you know, I've always wanted to do, like, ever since we started talking, I thought, okay, there's a piece I want to do. I'm a big Kell Hounds fan. Okay. Morgan and Patrick Kell. And I kind of want to do a piece with both of them guys, you know, kind of doing what they do, you know, maybe when they were first setting up the Merc unit, you know. I think there's a novel, pretty sure.
That's where they talk one of the last it. Ones I read, actually, Calhoun's Ascendants.
Yes. Yeah. And I kind of wanted to take a snapshot of one of those scenes in there and do that. I don't know if I'd do that for you because, you know, I'm sure you want to get some mechs in there somehow, but maybe I can work that in too. So
I have a piece I do not need mechs. I just want the universe. So if you want to do something with them, let me know. Actually, there's a concept artist in Germany that I've been going back and forth for like 8 months, and I have this just amazing piece laid out, and he's on board to do it. And I don't want to spoil any details here, but he's wonderful concept artist, but they're all so busy, and he's just like, yeah. And he knows Mech Warrior because he played the games. And so when I reached out to him, I was like, hey, I really like your art, you know, would you be interested in trying this universe? He's like, oh, I loved this when I was a kid. And it's just like, oh, I was like, you know, they're just so busy. but yeah, and that piece does not have any mechs in it. It's very BattleTech, but it has no mechs in it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give away more than that, if it rings BattleTech, but yeah, the Kell brothers, you know, it'd be cool to see something like in that early mission that we keep hearing about with Katrina, before she was Archon, and her husband Arthur. But yeah, anything in that history, I would love to just explore more of kind of the, you know, around the Ameris coup, you know, Star League time, you know, any kind of that, the war crimes that the Star League was committing in the periphery back in the day, and, you know, anything that's different, you know, and kind of sets the scheme would be awesome.
Okay.
But
good.
Let's do. We got a couple questions. Let's pull into chat. We'll do a couple of these chat questions, and then we'll pull Clover into the video chat here. But let's pull one. Somebody was asking about your commissions, so let's get you some work here, and we'll get props. So we'll do a quick, you know, if you can talk about your rates and kind of, or just you want them to contact you, and then you can discuss it privately. But let's do a quick shout out to how people can get in touch with you here, Bruce.
Okay. You can, I have Twitter and Instagram. My name or my username, whatever you want to call it, on both of those is Art Claude Bruce, just all one word, Art Claude, C-L-O-D-B-R-U-C-E, Art Claude Bruce. And I believe I used to have them closed, but I believe I opened up the DMs on Twitter. So you can contact me that way. Instagram is the same thing. Or you can just email me at my freelance email, which is me@brucepatnod.com. So and as far as rates go, usually I talk rates on an individual basis. It just really depends on what you want. It really does. I mean, it could be as cheap as, you know, 60 bucks. It can go as expensive as 500. It just really depends on what you want. Yeah. So that's why I kind of like just to keep it between me and the client. That way we can, you know, we can work it out. So if you guys are interested in that, just let me know. I do character art and I do BattleTech stuff and I do other game stuff, but we're on Renegade HPG, so we're talking about BattleTech. So
definitely.
Yeah.
Well, let's bring in Clover here. So Clover, you know, is in the chat as Awkward Smiles. Clover's a patron, so she, you know, her contributions have helped make Bruce's work and our other work possible, and has also been producing some of her own animatics. So we can maybe talk about that a little bit with her. But let's pull in here. There we go. We're unmuted.
Whoa!
All right, Clover, welcome.
I return from the void.
Yes, definitely.
Hey, welcome back.
Oh my gosh.
So Clover, let us know first, like, where people can find you, because you've been kind of inspired by Sir Dub Dub, you know, DC Bruins, who was our first big project on the gallery, and have been doing your own work. So let's make sure people can kind of see what you as a fan have been producing too.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I go by Awkward Smiles on most anywhere people scroll the internet, Reddit, Twitter, Instagram, here on YouTube as well. Perfect. I actually just uploaded earlier today a little like I think they call them like animation memes or whatever. They take like a song and then they just do a little short bits of animation to it. Because I was scrolling Instagram yesterday and I ran into a song that was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And it got stuck in my head and I spent like, oh, I was up to like 2 o'clock this morning
Awesome.
animating. And then I finished it earlier this afternoon. I was just like, oh, just send it out into the universe, see what happens.
Yeah, those moments of inspiration, man, they're rare and they're fun. The
They
most
are.
fun, the only time I've had fun editing for Renegade HVG is we were like in the middle of the cartoon remaster, and I'm just like plogging through kind of rendering and kind of re-editing to cut it. And I just get this idea, and that's where I made the parody video, which took a scene from Astartes and it parodied the legal issues with Harmony Gold and Fossa. And I was literally just sitting there for like the 6 hours it took me to edit that, just laughing at myself. But yeah, you got to take inspiration where you can. That's if people here haven't seen that parody, I'm very proud of it. And for a little extra preview, turn on the closed captioning because it makes it a little bit more fun. But some
Yeah, where was that again? I haven't seen any of the Battletech remastered stuff yet.
The I moved all the remastered onto Helm Memory Core, which is a new channel. And so I've got all the soundtracks from MechWarrior 2 from those days in there, properly credited and formatted, because a lot of the ones out there, either had the tracks mixed up or just looked crappy. And then the remastered cartoons I moved over there as well, just to kind of make that like an archive channel. But yeah, you can search cartoons or search MechWarrior 2 soundtracks. And actually, the playlists for all of those, I think, are still on the Renegade HVG channel, even if the videos aren't hosted there.
Okie
But
doke. Gotcha.
yeah.
And your little parody is on Helm Memory as well?
No, that's on Renegade HVG. I'll
Okie
find it.
doke.
I'll find
Gotcha.
it and link
Gotcha.
it here real quick. I'll put that. Yeah, that's if you just search the cartoon. Oops. Hopefully. I don't know if that accidentally turned the sound on the live stream. Yeah, I'll throw it in chat. And we can catch it there. So Clover, did you have any anything you wanted to throw at Bruce here? Any ideas for a commission, something?
Oh man. I mean, I saw
Putting you on the
people
spot.
Yeah, right? Oh my gosh. I had all of today and I did not get a chance to sit down and like I was gonna write out questions because I wanted to make sure I came prepared, but I did see a couple people in the chat asking about like underrated or underloved mech chassis. Do you have any particular ones you don't see enough of, Bruce? I know that you're a big fan of the infantry, so.
I am. I like the infantry. And probably unpopular opinion. I like the clan. I like clan elementals. I know a lot of people bash on the clans, but I like that. I think something or a mech that I probably would like to see more are of. Is probably the Jaeger mech. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I saw you posting in
Right,
the
right. No, I'm just taking a dig there. No, I don't know. I like a lot of the, what are they called? Oh my God. Are they called the unseen? Is that what they're called? Those that shall not be named. But I really want to do a piece sometime of the longbow. I think the longbow is probably one of my favorite. Yeah. So
That
what a
is a mech
shape.
that knows what its job is
Exactly,
and
right?
isn't ashamed of it. I'm looking
No,
at you, Shadowhawk. You do not know what your job is.
no. Oh my gosh.
but yeah, I really like it. I know that I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I know they redesigned the longbow. Catalyst did, right? It has more of the, I could be wrong, but it's not the missile tubs are not as rounded, right? They're more, they have a little bit more shape, a little bit more angular. But I really did enjoy the old Ralph Parther miniature that pretty much had the Archer body, right? But with the big launcher tubes, the big round ones on the end.
Nice.
But Yeah, I'd like to see more longbow art. Sure. Especially firing missiles off like that. That would be great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't too happy with the redesign of the archer. That's why I asked Jaden to do it. And I absolutely love what he did for that gallery piece, the redesign
Yeah,
of
that
this
was beautiful.
And
we
Yeah.
just like I was just like, ignore the CGL one. Let's start with the Spartan and let's update the Spartan for modern. So, and there's a couple like the Wasp and the Stinger. I didn't really like the redesigns. The Phoenix Hawk I could use a little bit different, but actually I've been I had a friend over in Germany who is 1 in 5 1 who he has a painting tutorial on Renegade HVG, and he painted a Phoenix Hawk for me and a Cavalieri scheme. And we use one of the Mini Tech models. I know that might be sacrilegious for some of the BattleTech people, but the Phoenix Hawk just looks amazing in kind of that original Robotech form. But yeah, some of those I love the I like a little bit more of the sleekness. I'm not a huge fan of all the blocky direction things have been going, but there's some good ones. The Marauder I think looks really good, and I mean the Glog is so
Yeah.
absolutely ridiculous and impractical. And so you've got to do something to make that more believable. So that was a good redesign on
I
that one.
know. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say there's definitely some interesting shapes from the older designs that, yeah, need some love.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Back in the day, and I think I see Spencer Leader in here. He's the one that commissioned that Marauder with the character with Katrina Royce in the front that I showed off earlier.
Oh, gotcha.
The old stuff was very, some of it was very gangly, right? Very, very thin legs and things like that. And I understand what you're saying about the blocky, the more angular, more blocky things sometimes are not very aesthetically pleasing. But I think for the most part, bulking those things up for me, I don't know. I like it better. Like I like it when the legs look like they're a little bit more sturdy, right? And they can actually hold something up, and things like that. So, but you're right that sometimes I think it goes overboard a little bit. It's just a little too angular, right? A little too boxy. They could use a little bit more, a little bit more organic shape, right? A little bit more rounded and things of that nature. But
Yeah, the Japanese designers go a little crazy sometimes, but when they're on,
Yeah, no, exactly. Like some of
the
my
round
favorite.
facer, the Dugram, you can't go wrong with that.
Right, right.
I got a little Dugram model back over my shoulder right now. I
Yeah.
see that.
I
I thought
see
the
that.
thing is like I hadn't assembled a model for like 30 years. I think I was 12, 10 maybe when I did it. It was and I got this. I didn't even know what it was. I didn't know if it was an action figure or a model, and I got a model. It is both. Like the model technology these days is insane. I mean, that thing's all a plastic model and it's a fully posable little action figure. It's so
Whoa,
cool.
wait, really? Oh my
Let me here.
gosh.
I'll pull it. I'll show off my little
Yo.
dude girl.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, look at this guy. Like he can pose. Like this is just all a model
Oh
with
my
plastic joints, and he's
gosh.
basically like a little fucking action figure. It's
That's
insane. I
sick.
can put him in some pretty cool poses, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's cool. That's very
And
cool.
he stands up on his own. Yeah, it's awesome.
Oh my gosh.
Technology days. So I ordered like two more. But so yeah.
That's the way to do it. That's the way to do
Yeah,
it.
exactly.
Yeah.
Bruce, somebody asked
Redundancies.
here. Sorry, go ahead and Clover.
I just said redundancies.
Of course. Of course. I need a round facer. It's probably my favorite of the classic designs, the old Griffin. But somebody asked Bruce, what medium do you use? They asked if you're digital or paper or kind of what your process is there.
I work in both, but most of my stuff now is digital, just because I can get a lot more done in the time that I have allotted. Working traditional is great. That's the way I used to do it all the time, and I still do some work traditional. But as of late, a lot of my commission stuff is just strictly digital. And there's a funny, I don't know, I find it interesting story because I'm an artist, but a couple months because the feel of a stylus on a piece of glass is a lot different than a pencil on a piece of paper, right?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So it took me a little bit of time to get used to. And so I used to draw a pencil. I'd do the pencil work on a piece of paper, scan it, and make it digital, put it in the computer, and then I either refine it or ink it, in the computer. And then until I finally got to the point where I just do it all digital now, and it kind of eliminated that step. But yeah, I still do traditional. I work on Bristol board and pencil. And if I ink, now I use what are they called? I think I have some right here.
Microns?
Yeah, microns. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
my partner does a lot of painting. He uses those for lining.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I use those instead of a brush now. And but yeah, both.
Wow.
I hope that answered your question. Both.
Definitely. That's the way to go. Now, do you, Bruce, do you, we had talked about this, one-on-one, but, people on Vader's for two of, do you have set colorists that you work with for some of your pieces? How often do you do your own versus how often do you kind of maybe have a partner that you like to go to, or is it just?
I don't have anybody specific for coloring. Lately, the only works that I usually do that require colors are like related to the comic project I'm working on.
Yeah.
And the creator himself has a colorist, like he's picked out a colorist that he wants. Mm-hmm. And they work pretty well with my style. And so I don't usually worry about that. If every once in a while I'll attempt to do colors on my own. And I say attempt because it's not something that I've refined. I mean, I can do it. And I think I'm pretty good at it, but I'm not top shelf, if you want to, you'll call it that, right? So there's lots of good colorists out there and people who specialize in colors, especially over comic art, because there's a whole process to that, right? You have to flat and then you do the colors and then, mm-hmm. So I know of a couple people that are really good at it. And they've worked on my art before. So if I ever have to do something where I have to find a colorist, I have probably a handful of people that I would approach first and see if they would be interested in doing it, just because I know. Because when you're doing black and white art, right, you're doing line art or inks for comics or whatever, sometimes certain colorists don't mix with certain inkers, like maybe they don't, the way they color requires real heavy black line inks, and maybe you don't do it that way, and so you got to find somebody that can work with that. And so it's kind of a process that I know a lot of people think it's really easy, just find a colorist, but sometimes it just doesn't work that way. Sometimes you don't work well together, maybe you don't agree on things, and so it's a whole process. It's the same way with writers, when you're doing comic books, right? Some writers are they're sticklers for their script, and they want you to draw exactly the way that they wrote it, that they don't want any kind of collaboration. And then some are just like, okay, here's a summary of the page, draw it, It's very, it's very open and creatively it's very free for you. So, and then some artists don't like to work that way. They'd rather have everything mapped out for them and they'll just draw whatever you tell them to do. Right. So, it's a process to find those people. So
after I saw the Urban Ambush, I was like, oh, this would be a cool one to, find a colorist to come in and tackle this. And and then started looking, and it's hard. It's hard. Like there's a lot of, it just seems like there's some odd color styles out there. Like they definitely have their unique thing, but it's like I thought it would be like, okay, give me 2 hours and I'll find somebody. And I was like, 2 hours in, I was like, oh, I don't know who I would want to bring on the color. Trying to get, cause it's weird how, the setting, it's not too fantastical, so you need to have it grounded, but you want it still, it's comics. So you don't want it to be like a picture, pure realism. But yeah, it's challenging. So I'm still kind of not sure. I think I have one or two that I was leaning toward, but
I did. I think we talked about this earlier, and I do have a name of a colorist that you can try if you want to contact him and see. He actually does. He actually has worked over my art, and he does a really good job. And let me see here. I can show you an example. Just give me a second, and I'll pull it up. But let's see here. So yeah, you could go ahead and ask me a question or something, or talk amongst yourselves while I look for this real quick.
Yeah, Clover, when you're doing your animatics, do you kind of like work as you go, scene by scene, or do you have like a broader story laid out already that you're trying to kind of put out there?
It really depends on the situation. Recently, one of the like, because I've been working on boards for a short, as I've mentioned multiple times on my socials. Sometimes it's like I have a very clear idea of what I want to do. Like I can see the movie in my head very clearly. But sometimes when I'm putting pen to paper and trying to recreate that on the screen or whatever, it can go sideways sometimes. And so I was struggling with a shot over last weekend, and I just could not get it to feel right. So I like took a break from it. And this weekend, I'm like, oh, that's what I could do. And I'm really glad that I took the break because I think it's going to do a lot better job of like giving you a feel for the setting and the situation that the first couple shots of the short are going to be situated in. So yeah, I don't know. It really depends. Colors, though, that scares me. That's I like doing the grays. Monochrome drawing is a-okay by me.
I
Well,
agree with you.
you hit on a good point there. That'd be interested, Bruce, in your insight is like, because we all have these scenes in our head that like are fleshed out. They're great. They're like, can I just take a snapshot of my thoughts and put it on there? We're probably about 20, 30 years away from actually doing that. But so for you, as artists, like what is, to what degree do you sketch out those ideas? How far do you get in a sketch before you're like, okay, this is enough visualization for what I need to move on to the next sketch? Like, what is that like taking it from, your mind's eye and putting it on the paper?
That's a good question, especially if you're doing something for yourself. Now, if you're doing something for somebody else, you'll get like when I'm doing something for myself, I sit down and I'm sketching, right? And I'll draw something. I have a general idea of what I want to do. And I get to sketching and I'll try different compositions or I'll try different poses or I'll do whatever. And if it's not working for me within the first 10, 15 minutes, I scrap it. Like or I'll put it aside and I'll say, I'll get to it later. I'll do something else or I'll do some practice. I do a lot of gesture drawing when I can't think of something I want to do. And it's really just simple. It's like, I don't know, stick men on steroids type thing. Just doing gestures, right? Trying to figure out poses and things until I can get back to it and say, okay, I got a better idea of what I want to do now and then I'll go for it. I can really tell like when I start something and it's going really well, I could tell that, okay, this is going to work because I'm flying through it. Like I'll be able to finish something in, 2, 3 hours and it'll be complete. And that's when I get the most excited because I know that, okay, I'm really digging this. To me, it's looking really good, until I ask my wife or my granddaughter in here and then I ask them, hey, what do you think of this? And they're like, well, I don't know. And I'm like, delete or no, I won't
No,
do.
you hate to hear the well, the hesitation.
But when you're working with other people, you kind of have to, or working for someone else, you really have to, you just have to fight through it. I mean, we touched upon this earlier, in this discussion where we were talking about the piece I did for you with the squad, ambushing the mech. And like they're like, I was sitting there doing that, and I'll admit, like at one point, I'm like, I don't know if I can do this because nothing's working for me. Nothing is working. I can't get it to look good. And then I just put it aside, and I think I went and watched a movie, or I think at the time I was binge watching Fringe. And so like I watched a couple episodes and then I came back and it, I don't know, it just popped in like, okay, this'll work. And, you know, luckily that's what worked. So, I think it just really depends on, you know, who you work. If you're doing it for yourself, yeah, you get ideas come in and then you could trash them. And that usually leads to a different idea that might work better for you. But when you're doing it for other people, you know, you got to push through, you got to make it work somehow. So, but I do have that picture if you want to see it, The Colorist, yes, yeah. If you want to see it.
Yeah.
I'll share the screen again here. Okay. This Colorist, can you see it?
Ooh.
Yep.
Yo.
Okay. I did the black and white line art for this. And then I also did, when I worked for this gentleman, I usually give him two versions. I give him strictly line art and then I give him a black and white shaded version.
Mm-hmm.
And on this, I did the same thing. And so he took just the line art and he had this person color it. His name's Pressy on Twitter. Mm-hmm. If you want, I can send you a DM with his contact. And you can get a hold of him. He actually does work for Marvel and DC as well. He does nice color work for the big comic companies.
I was going to say, it's got like that feel to it.
Yeah, it's very professional looking.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's very good. Very, very well done. So, I'll pass along his contact information to you. And then if you want to get in contact with him, you can. So, So there you go.
Wow.
Very cool.
Yeah, Colorist really makes a difference.
They do. They can make or break a piece of art for sure.
Yeah. So. Definitely. Gosh. Cool. Clover, when do we get our next animatic from you?
Eventually. I'm hoping to get some more work done tomorrow to cap off my weekend. Maybe in the next couple of weeks or so, I might have a nice little teaser to send out to everybody. But right now, it's mostly been boring stuff. I say boring stuff. It's not been big, stompy mech action yet. I have that pretty well blocked out in my head, and I'm really excited to put that together. But I wanted to challenge myself to do something a little quieter and a little more dialogue focused. Mm-hmm. And so I've been watching a lot of Firefly to get inspiration for that. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but
God. Yeah.
What an excellent show in general, but also just like the character dynamics and the writing for them is so interesting and unique. I've never experienced something like that before. It's really good. Yeah. So good.
I think it's the penultimate space Western, right?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing like it.
Yeah, you know, it's actually like 2 weeks ago, I told my girlfriend, I was like, we need to do a rewatch of Firefly.
Yeah, yeah. No better time than the present.
We've been binging. We've gotten lucky with our binging. We've got some good ones. You know, if you talk about character, well, Deadwood is my favorite all the time.
Deadwood.
For characters.
I love Deadwood, yeah.
It's just Deadwood's one of my favorite. The dialogue and the character is next level. We recently saw 1883, which is a prequel for Yellowstone, which became my number two after Deadwood, had been over a decade since something had taken that spot. But 1883 was like set in 1883. It's about going through the Oregon Trail, and absolutely the cinematography, just the dialogue, the development, it's beautiful, beautiful. And then Black Sails was another one where the character development and the dialogue was just off the charts.
Yes. I enjoyed Black Sails a lot. I liked that series. That was good. But
yeah. So for inspiration, Firefly level dialogue quality, you know, those are my recommendations there.
Gotcha. Gotcha. I'm going to have to add them to the search history.
For sure. Well, let's check in chat. Clover, did you have any more questions? We're going to turn it over to the chat people if you...
I mean, we got through the big ones. I wanted to ask you, Bruce, about like what the process was for that the infantry ambush shot, because seeing like the previous sketches before the final, I was just kind of curious what that process was. But
sure.
Yeah, that was a gallery. So people sign up for the gallery. You can see the full, all the iterations, which is really cool. And then a whole
$2 a month.
Yeah.
Not even a coffee.
That's it.
Yeah.
No. Good job, Clover.
Good job. Yep. Good job. Yeah, the process is like for that particular one, when Travis contacted me and told me what he wanted, the very first thing I did was like, oh shit, how am I going to do this? I thought about it and I did some initial comps, initial composition layouts and stuff. And just like I was telling Travis earlier, it's like, I struggled with it because I couldn't figure out how to fit all of those elements in.
And make
it look real. I wanted it to look like it was really happening. I didn't want it to look like, oh, this is just a pose. Here's a layer, here's a layer, here's a layer. Right.
Yeah.
So, I went through a couple different ones and got with Travis, and he gave me some really good feedback of what was going on, and I agreed with him. And so I can do a
share screen here, Bruce, too.
Sure, if you want. Yeah.
So this was the first one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, for an artist, this is always embarrassing.
Right? Oh, no. Show how the sausage is made.
Yep, I understand.
Because this is how we work through, right? That's how you get the final picture. But, it's all very rough. But, yeah, so this initial one, I thought, okay, we're going to go one-point perspective. We're going to look down the street because, Travis, you had mentioned that you wanted it at the end of a T intersection. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, I've got to show that off, and I've got to show the victor, and I've got to show the enforcer, and I have to show five people, a squad of people. And so I did that right in a building, looking out the window, getting ready to break the glass. And I'm like, okay, this is what I came up with first. And then I thought, and then I sent it to Travis, and then he came back with feedback where he told me, well, this is all good, except they don't look like they're on the second floor if you look down the street. And he's absolutely right. It doesn't look like they're on the second floor. There's not enough reference for the viewer, because the victor's going to block off most of the street on the left, right? So you're not going to get that reference. All you're going to see is another big mech, which some people are going to think, oh, that's another infantry guy or something. Well, Battletech fans are not. They're going to know it's an enforcer. But
yeah.
And so I did another one, and I wasn't happy with it. And so that's like what I said earlier. I kind of just watched a couple episodes of Fringe because I was binge watching it. And then I came back and I came up with, I think, what did I send you, Travis? I think I'm trying to find it now.
Yeah, it's not. Let me scroll. I'll just reopen. Let me reopen the picture. Bounce through them. Oh, I think was this one? This is the sketch that we ran with. This was the final with the enforcer. And before we were like, that enforcer would be suicidal to stand that close to Victor. So we cut that out.
Yeah, so we cut the enforcer. I think that was the second to the final one. Yeah.
Oops, I forgot to screen share the new one.
I think I have all those.
Yeah, there we go. So we got that one. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, that was one of the last two,
That was the one we picked of the three.
Yeah. Right?
And then let's see if it's, let me scroll. For some reason, let me scroll through the pictures. Mm-hmm. All right, I'll just do it individually.
Yeah, I get what you're saying though with
the other one.
How to do that shot, because that's a lot. That's a lot of ideas you have to visualize.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on in that shot, and trying to get it all in, on a piece of paper.
Yeah, this was one.
Or digital piece of paper. Yeah, that was. Mm-hmm. That was one of the final ideas. But as you can see on this one, perspective's lower because I'm trying to get it up in the air, looking down the street. The enforcer, you probably wouldn't have been able to see the enforcer if he had to be as far back as like you initially wanted him, right? Because you said it would be suicide if he was that close. So
yeah, and I think I found. I think I found the. I know why the original was shown, because it's like a different file than a normal JPEG. Here, what I'll do is I will. There we go. Okay, I can share this from Twitter. So let's go. Stop share. Reshare. This one. All right. So this was one of the early ones, where I really loved the framing of the Victor. But that's where the heights were off. I was like, well, it looks like we're on the second floor compared to, actually, we were kind of like on a floor and a half. But then when you looked out the window, it looked like you were at like basically ground level. So we fixed that for those other iterations, which I just showed. And then we had the final one with the enforcer. Let's see, where was that? In frame. That was this one. Share. There we go. So yeah, that was the final one with the forcer in. That's where I was just like, you know, that would be a poorly laid trap if an enforcer was that close when he turned the corner. Yeah,
right, right.
Pointing to the face.
Right. So we just
pulled it.
We
out.
Moved it. Yep.
Yeah, and that's fine. But yeah.
Yeah, I think it. Yeah, I think the final picture came out and it kind of gave you what you wanted, I think, in the end, except for the enforcer, but it was supposed to be about the ambush. So
yeah, the enforcer was just a background element. So yeah, we were happy to dump that one.
Right.
I really, from like, is this one and the hangar bay one, I noticed there's like a very similarly chiseled man in both of those shots. I was just wondering if that's like, just like a favorite like fallback character that you use for doing shots where you don't know really who's in the scene, or if there's like a particular character that you were doing. They're a little dissimilar, but
right, the one in the foreground without the helmet.
Yeah,
that's Duke from G.I. Joe.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of a joke, but he does look like Duke from G.I. Joe. But that's kind of a, I don't know if you say it's a signature type thing for me, but it's kind of a fallback. Look at there, food. I need some of that.
I need my food delivered.
I know, right? But yeah, no, it's kind of a, that type of face, that type of, you know, that male face or that male head structure or whatever is kind of a fallback for me. I mean, that's like when I want to do something and I want to look tough or whatever. That's kind of what I do. So, yeah.
I mean, you do it excellently, so I'm not complaining.
Thanks. But yeah, that's your
Jocko Willink of the BattleTech universe.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. No, I said it was Duke because somebody actually told me that. They said, I think that's Duke from G.I. Joe.
Oh.
And I said, you're right. It is. So there.
Perfect.
Take that. So
just a little bit of retconning. Who's going to know?
Right. No, nobody's going to know. Nobody knows what's in my mind unless I tell them. So, but
whoops.
Yeah. So
we did get another question in the chat. Sure. You know, you covered this early, but they might have missed it. It asks, what other than elemental, what kind of battle armor would you like to draw next?
Well, that's a good question, and it's kind of ironic. I wish I could share something with you, but I cannot because I have an NDA with some people. But I was asked to do so they could see whether or not I was good at it. They asked me to do a redesign of something of my choice. And I happened to do a redesign of Grey Death Legion. I think it was medium battle armor, I believe. Let me see here. I definitely can't show it, so I'm sorry, guys. I can't do that.
No worries.
Because I don't want to get sued. So,
you know,
or spoil my chances at something. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, Grey Death standard medium battle armor. Grey Death Legion. So, yeah. So if I could, I would redesign that one. Matter of fact, I already did. But I can't show it. Sorry.
That's all good. At some point, I'm planning on doing some of the, was it the Infiltrator? The Mark One version.
Oh, okay.
With the weird legs and the like Dorito torso. Just such a weird shape. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Okay. A lot of, now, Travis, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I know that your channel, you've talked to a lot of the old BattleTech artists, right?
Yeah.
Did they ever reveal any secrets about how they came up with some of their, like some of their character art? Like if you look at some of the old, like the old Black Widow stuff. Kerensky, did they go straight from a magazine or something?
I probed in that direction, especially with Owen Wilson. I mean, Grace and Death Carlisle, but
yes,
I think that art predates the fame of Owen Wilson, and so I think that one was a coincidence. But yeah, I did kind of lean in that direction, but I think the artists that I had were way earlier than the ones that, like the ones where Aiden looks like Tom Cruise.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and Owen Wilson is Grayson Carlisle or vice versa.
Yeah. I was just wondering.
They're very clear. Yeah. They're definitely very clear, like, you know, inspirations there. But I think the artists that I've talked to kind of predate where that was tended to happen. Unless do you have a particular piece in mind?
No. I'll reach out.
I'll email Jeff or Joel and be like, hey.
No, you pretty much named a couple of them, and it was like,
yeah, those were later artists. I think those were okay. Those are like I want to say those are probably late 90s, early 2000s artists, and
right.
I haven't really hit too many of those. So I've kind of gotten the 80s, early 90s artists that I've connected with, and then I've connected with like some of the modern guys like Iglesias and, you know, and Marco and Anthony. But yeah, I haven't, you know, found that, you know, Matt Plogg, who's been there, who seems like he's been illustrating forever.
For a long time, yeah.
Dana Knutson, who I think covered a little bit of that time period. And actually, I think a lot of the CGL guys are the guys that were responsible for some of those. So like Brent, you know, who's now the art director, you know, Ray did some character art, though I can't think of any characters that he would have kind of pulled from real life figures. But yeah, it's there. It's a good question. I'll have to look up those pieces and find the artist and kind of get them on to be like, hey.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like it's not that important if I know or anything. It's just interesting because it looks like everyone it's heavily inspired.
Is that Owen Wilson?
Right.
Exactly. Is Tom Cruise Aiden Pride?
Yeah, right.
Coming to a theater near you.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm sure when I get around, like when Clover was talking about that character, I'm sure when I get around to doing, you know, Morgan Kell, or he's probably going to look like Duke from G.I. Joe.
Oh.
Right. No, I don't know. I'm joking.
Duke and his younger brother.
Yes, Duke and his younger brother. So.
Yeah. So Spencer asked, have you done any extensive work with support crew vehicles, Aerotech? Well, there's our Aerotech piece, which we showed off earlier in the piece. So definitely check out Gallery 3025 for that. But yeah, any vehicles strike your fancy there, Bruce?
I would like to do, if I had the time, I would like to do, is it the Behemoth?
Okay.
Is that what it is?
Is that the one with the, like, the
big round domes
or something? Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so. I can look that up real quick, but I'm pretty sure.
Not to be confused with the mech.
Yeah, not to be confused with the mech.
Right, right.
Or maybe it's called the Demolisher.
Oh.
I know what you're talking about. I think they did a redesign of that recently too, so we can get your take on it. But while we're waiting for Bruce to find it, if you're in the chat, last chance, if you got questions, throw them in. Or even better, if you have an outline for commission, here's your chance. You could possibly, if your idea is good, you could get, you know, free commission. Gallery 30 to 25 will pay for it, but it's got to be good. So throw it out there. Otherwise,
we only make good art here.
Right.
Yes. That doesn't mean we don't throw out bad ideas for you.
There are no bad ideas.
Yes.
Just good art.
That's true. I don't know. I've been around some bad ideas before. I've dealt with a board of directors. There's bad ideas that come out of those people.
Okay, well, there are exceptions. There are exceptions. We all know this. There you go. We don't need to acknowledge them.
And Clover, let me, I got your link for your YouTube. I'm going to throw it in chat so people can kind of connect with you there before you sign off today.
Okay, it was the Demolisher. And I think it was the old design. It had the dome turret with the two cannons, I think, or one big cannon. You said they did a redesign of that one, Demolisher?
I think so. Vehicles don't really, you know, tickle my fancy in BattleTech.
Right.
I haven't been paying too much, but they have been, Anthony's been posting some of their new files for the vehicles for the upcoming Kickstarter out there. It may be there. We'll rely on our support nerd squad in the chat to confirm or deny that.
Do you have an inside track there with CGO? Do you know when either the Mercs box set or the
I think they published. I think that's coming in the fall, isn't it? I don't have an inside track in terms of what they're doing. I mean, I just have contact.
Oh, okay.
You know, I can always reach out to someone over there and be like, hey, am I stepping on anyone's feet? I have an idea to do something. Am I going to get sued by Tops if I do this? But that's about it.
But do you have the okay go ahead for the card game stuff? Yeah.
For the card game, that is a talk that I've had, and an idea and things that I want to do, but developing a card game, an actual, and like doing it right is a process. And so, but the idea is there and discussions have been had, but the art that I was doing that we talked about earlier was just custom stuff that I'm doing.
Oh, okay.
You know, in the meantime, I'm having fun with the old card game, building a community. But if something did happen, there's a community there that can help support it.
Exactly.
That's there's CGL and then there's InRes who owns CGL and then there's Tops who owns it all. So there are lawyers and steps between that particular idea and it becoming a reality.
Lawyers and lawyers and lawyers. Layers of them.
Lawyers and money. That's what it is. Lawyers.
Yeah.
But before then, there's a good pitch, and that is definitely something I'm working on. And you know, the art to supply that pitch would be helpful.
I'm looking at chat here. I see this come up a lot from Trenton Arnie. Says he needs an art piece of a cannabis cat girl climbing into an urban mech for maximum memeage.
Oh boy, I'll leave that one to you to explore.
What is the deal with the cat girls? I mean, I know that they were shown once, but
it's just a suppressed sexual feelings, which is okay in the appropriate environments to express. But
I'm aware of the meme. Yeah, I'm aware of the meme. So I just thought I'd bring
there is some decent art out there of the cat girls. I mean, it is. I mean, the original art was in one of the old books. I don't know which one it is, but
are cat girls actually canon?
Oh yeah. There was a illustration in a book. I don't know which one it is, an official book.
Was it the Mercenaries book?
No, I think it was a Periphery book. And it was on the Canopus and had a picture and there were cat girls in there. So I'd have to pull out my source books. I have all the Periphery ones, but I think it's in one.
Oh dear. I'm going to have to keep that in mind going
Not
forward because the
purely a
periphery
fan
is our
creation.
setting
Yeah.
for the show I'm working on.
So what you're
Periphery is the
saying,
best setting. We need more periphery.
right? So what you're saying, Clover, is that Catgirls are going to make a cameo appearance in one of your animations.
Oh boy.
Possibly, possibly not.
That'll be the extended cut. That'll be patrons
Oh,
only.
right. The
Right,
DVD
right.
version.
Mama's got to make
Yeah.
money somehow.
There you go. The NSFW commission,
No.
art commission world is vibrant.
Oh boy, it
But
is though. It
it
is.
is. It's all good. Industry as old as time.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
Actually,
Any other questions before
well,
we?
not to derail us too much, but
Oh, please
Bruce.
do. Please derail us
Okay, well,
from the.
Bruce, how often do you get NSFW requests? 'Cause yeah. That's a
Well,
thing artists have to deal with, is
no, it
people
is.
asking weird things.
Yeah, it is. It is. Not, believe it or not very often. I
Oh.
think, I like every once in a while I'll get something, but for the most part, no. I think, I don't know. I think most of the time, people that want commissions that are not safe for work usually go after the artists that are advertising that they do it, if you know what I mean.
That
Like,
makes sense.
yeah. So it, because I think maybe they feel uncomfortable approaching an artist, you know, and saying, hey, can you do this for me? And like, well, you know, and then, you know, maybe someone gets insulted or whatever. I don't know. I mean, I never would. I
That
never
makes
would.
sense. I mean, you don't walk into Walmart and ask for sex toys, and so, you know, you got to know where you're going and where you're
Oh
mixing your
man, don't
right.
start giving them ideas,
Oh,
Travis,
that's
please.
right.
Please don't.
But yeah, I mean, like, you know, I'm not a prude. I, you know, if it's something that doesn't bother me, then yeah, I, hey, money talks, right? Is that
Very
what it goes? Is that what
well,
happens?
I did see an artist on Twitter the other day, and they were like, I'm gonna auction, I'm gonna do an NSFW once, and I'm gonna auction it, and I will take what you guys are crazy enough to pay. So
Right. Well, I wonder
that's
how that turned out for him. I'd be
yeah.
interested to see if he made any money off of that. But I know a lot of those artists do make pretty good money. So,
I'm sure they do.
and you
That's what I've
know,
heard.
yeah. So,
And I blame Canopus Cat Girls and Trenton for getting us onto this tangent here, but we'll pull off.
all right, Trenton.
So, summary: Bruce will be doing more with Gallery. We will definitely keep working with Bruce. You know, we're reaching out to other concept artists. You know, I really want to try to get fully fleshed out some pieces there to share with you guys. It's just a for those Gallery 3025 patrons who've been patient, the contacts have been made, the availability of artists is difficult. And so I am super happy to kind of have Bruce here, and we're just going to keep pumping out ideas. And I would love, to flesh out my comic story idea and start diving into that.
Yeah,
That would be a
yeah.
Renegade HPG Patreon exclusive. So I just like post a page or spread every month or two, or not two, but every 2 weeks, every 4 weeks. That'd be awesome. But yeah, we're doing good things. Bruce, I love the art you've done so far. Gallery 3025 on Patreon, if you guys want to chip in, it's just $2 a month. Clover, how much does that pay for? What's $2 a month? What do you say?
You could get you double that, you'd get a coffee.
Yeah. Half of a cup of
These
coffee,
days.
a month, chip in. But numbers work, and immense thank you to the patrons that have already done that. I think we're almost at 150 patrons that have been supporting the gallery, and probably add another 50 or 100 who have come and chipped in for a little while and then moved on. Tons of thanks to those people, because we wouldn't be here talking with Bruce right now. We wouldn't have been able to do the animatic with Bruins, or the updated Spartan with Jaden, without that. And dear good Lord, Mech Warrior Bulldogs is brilliant. So we're all thankful for being able to produce that and getting Bruins to finish that. But
For sure.
excellent. So Bruce, thanks for joining us. Clover, thanks for the extra support on the gallery, and for joining us, and for the only time that you've been contributing to producing stuff for the community. So look forward to your Animax moving forward. And yeah.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. It's been awesome. And it's just great to see all this art and artistry flourishing. So thank you for all your work that you're doing, Travis.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. Keeping that alive, man.
So Bruce, connect with them. Art Claude Bruce on all the platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Awkward Smiles is where you can find Clover on all the social media. And you can find me, Renegade HPG, except for Facebook, because they say I can't call my page Renegade HPG. It violates their naming convention.
Really?
So someone answer that question. So you actually have search for Renegade HPG on Facebook, but you can do the tag everywhere else. That's where you can connect with us. Bruce is taking commissions, so reach out to him on his platform. He can discuss that with you. And that's it. But thank you, everybody, for joining us. It's been a blast. Bruce, Clover, thanks for hopping in. And yeah, till the next episode, Renegade HPG. We'll see you then.
All right. Bye, everyone. Thanks.
Take care.
All right, now the trick. We're still live, guys. I've got to figure out how to turn us off. There we go. End stream. I think we are.